I don't know what you need. I want to have revival. I'm going to aim to have one. I'd like for you to have one with me. I want to get in where you live. I want to shine the light through the preaching of the Word of God to help you see yourself in the dark places. I want you to meet Jesus anew and afresh.
Yes.
I want to see you change. And not a one in here tonight, not a one in here tonight that doesn't need to make some changes. I hope you'll recognize where you need to make changes, and then you'll have the gumption and the guts to do it. God's going to hold you accountable for this week. I'd like for you to just open up this week during the services and let God deal with your heart. Nobody else has to know anything about it, just you and the Lord. You let Him deal with you. You'd shut out for a little while everything else. Consider your position, your condition before God Almighty, and do business with Him. We will have done well if we get to know Him better. God loved His Son Jesus so much, He wants to make some more little Jesuses out of us. I wonder if you're a candidate or if you've already balked on the road. You'll never make it all the way to be like Him, but you sure ought to be trying. Now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that's in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go to, go, and I'll send a letter to the king of Israel." And departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is coming to thee, behold, I therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, and that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Yes. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'? Then when he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, 'Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I'll receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, shall there not, I pray thee, be given thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when thy master, my master, goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, he leaneth upon my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. You may be seated. I want to preach tonight, if the Holy Ghost would help me, on which river. It don't seem to make much difference today which way folk go as long as they're religious. It seems like as long as we call the name of God and make a show, that it seems to satisfy the flesh, and I think that's right. I think it does. But there's something different. There's something deeper than the flesh. Thank God. Now this Naaman is a popular man. And he's well thought of, evidently, in his country. He's famous for battle, but he's a leper. And leprosy and sin will run side by side. You can just about take them as far as you can run a parallel in the scriptures. And it looks like Naaman's headed for death. Leprosy, in those days especially, the only hope you had was in a miracle from God Almighty. No doubt he got up in the morning, had a little place on him, and said, I'll have it, and nobody'll ever know. But leprosy doesn't stay small. And sin don't stay small. And you can try to hide it if you want to, but the devil's never satisfied with a little sin. And anything that's hideable is never pleasing to him, and so he'll bring you after a while into bigger sin that will come to light and ruin your life and your testimony. And the king wants to see him healed. He's a famous man. But down in the house where Naaman had gone, brought a little captive back from the land of Israel. A little old maid, doesn't tell her name. But she's waiting on Naaman's wife. And she knows of a cure. She said, there's a man of God down in my country. If you get him where my preacher is, he'd let this man know how he can get a healing. Yes. Amen. Amen. Now, the healing for this world is not for you to vote Republican or Democrat. Amen. The healing's in God Almighty. Amen. And it's not in Baptist or Methodist or Catholic, but it's in Almighty God. Amen. And it's not in show business, I'm afraid. A lot of our churches in this day have gone to show business and proclaiming that noise means there's God around. And I'm all for the right kind of noise. But I'm going to tell you, where there's no God, there'll be no business done with men and women's hearts. And our need for this hour is the holy power of God. And Naaman's fixing to find out some things here. I can remember the days of being a sinner, not knowing God Almighty, but became awake to my condition through the preached word of God. Realized I was a sinner and headed for hell without any hope. The only hope was a miracle from the hand of God. One day I heard a preacher, thank God, told me the story in a different way I'd ever heard it before. Holy Ghost cracked open my heart. Let a portion of the gospel get in. I became awake to the fact that I was a hell-bound, deserving sinner. Naaman takes horses and chariots and the money of the king. Enough he knew, enough about most of God's men, that a little money and a new chariot would make them do anything he wanted them to do. He didn't know he was going to run on to a real man of God.
Amen.
And he took the letter to the king. Now here's a king who knew more than the President of the United States knows. There's no power in them to bring old time salvation and a healing for this nation. I have teenage girls in my church that's got more sense about what America needs than all of the Congress of the United States. There's no more common sense in Washington, D.C. Vote for who you want to. Our nation's going down. But that don't mean I have to stand around humped up with my head down while it's going on. My God's still alive. Comes down to the king, and the king said, who am I to heal a man of his leprosy? But old Elisha, I think maybe down in the tent, said, send him down here to me. We'll show him there's still a God in Israel and still a prophet that'll tell him the truth.
Yes.
Great God tonight again for men that'll tell the truth.
Amen.
That'll preach the gospel to lost hearts of men and women and tell them what it's going to take. That'll pull no punches, preach for holy living and against ungodliness in our land. Comes down to the tent and the man of God don't even get up. Here's a man directly from the king of another country. The leading military leader. He's secretary of the army and more too. And the old man of God don't even get up. Said, told one of his servants, go out and tell him what is said. You see, if we're not careful, men of God, we'll dance to the music of the people rather than listen to what God said. If we're not careful, I'm going to tell you, God will not use a strutter. Whether it's a preacher or a lady in the church or whatever, God will not use a strutter. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not impressed with a smart aleck attitude from the pulpit. Are you hearing me tonight? And seeing how close we can get to vulgarity without being taken out of the pulpit. You may say, preacher, doesn't make any difference what you like. I'm not preaching for your likes. I'm here to preach to you what thus saith the Lord. Amen. Said, go out and tell him, dip 7 times in Jordan, he'll be clean. That's a pretty short message. I'll tell you the shortest distance between any 2 points is a straight line, and you don't have to tell a joke between them to get it over. And it made him mad. Whether you folks have ever had, you preachers ever had folks get mad at you for preaching? If you preach, they have. The word of God irritates sinners. That's the only kind of people it irritates are sinners. And Naaman said, he said, go wash in Jordan 7 times. And immediately just hearing about Jordan aggravates him. Jordan's muddy and it's narrow and it's not pretty. He said, I've got rivers in my country that's better than this. How many times have I heard there's surely a better way than what you preachers are preaching? Now, I read this. I've preached this scripture, I guess, 100 times at least in my ministry. And all of this time, I've realized that God never named anything without it had a direct reason for doing it. And so I went to the Bible Encyclopedia and looked up these names. And they began to open up to me like never before. And I said, Lord, I'll preach that. And I already have 2 or 3 or 4 times on this very scripture. And these rivers, Abana and Pharpar, I thought, why did God name them? Why didn't he just say 2 other rivers? But I looked up this river, Abana, and it said, this is the golden stream. This is what the Romans call the golden stream. Nothing like it. Prettiest river in the land. It's known for its beauty and for tourists and every good thing to bathe in, to wash in, to drink in. Everything's good. But when it gets down in the desert and marshes, it sinks in the ground. And right there is the river that most of America has taken tonight.
Amen.
They've chosen what's pretty and good.
Amen.
They've chosen what makes them look good. They're just tourists in the things of God.
Amen.
They come to have a good time, you know, to meet the friends and eat together and play games and go on the hay rides. And they get people down in the altar and repeat after me, 1, 2, 3. Repeat after me and get them to say they believe in God and Jesus Christ and let them go their way and have singings and this and that. That's all right, but after a while, it'll sink in the desert. When troubles come and trials hit, when there's death at your house, when you run into problems you cannot explain, when it looks like the sun won't shine anymore, heaven will sink on you.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad I found something better. My friend, if that's you tonight, I'm preaching to folk tonight that chose the wrong river. You've looked for the great things and the pretty things and the up things, and now you've come to a crisis and it's all sunk on you and you have nothing to lean on. And there's no real peace and solitude in your heart. You've stuck the wrong river. And then I looked up Pharpar. And it said for coolness and refreshing, it starts yonder in the mountains, in the glaciers, and runs down. It says the most pleasant river in that land. And it's always cool, and it's always running until the seasons run out. They said Pharpar is seasonal. And I don't want that seasonal business. I want something to be there for me. I want something when the church is weeping, when we don't know what to do, when the preachers get confused and confounded and we get discouraged and lonely. I don't want what I've got to be seasonal. I want it to hold out. It said when the weather warms up, and the glaciers are all melted, Pharpar disappears. Thank God tonight for a God that never goes away. Amen. Thank God tonight for reality. That I don't have to make a spirit. I've got something on the inside of me that's everlasting. Thank God I don't have to drum up anything. I don't have to fake anything. Fake a song, fake a testimony. The God that's living in me is for real, pure gold. Amen. Amen. Well, I wonder where you are tonight. Every one of you, listen to this old wore out preacher tonight. Every one of you tonight have problems. Every one of you have problems. Can you depend on what you got to take you through? Has what you got been tried in the fire? I'm going to tell you all tonight, I love you. Some folk here tonight I don't know. Some of you I've seen before over at Highway Church and here and at camp meetings. And I got great confidence in some of you. But if all of you came tonight, all you men of God, and said, "Preacher, I don't believe you ever hit the rock. I don't believe you got a thing," I'd laugh all the way back to the motel.
Amen.
I'd say that bunch of dummies don't know a bit more. You can't get me to doubt that. I know what I'm hooked up to. I know, thank God, wherever I'm in. I know, thank God, how I got it. I know where I was at when I was a praying. When I got the real goods that morning, thank God, you wasn't there. It wasn't none of your business. All the church, thank God, and the preacher, I prayed off and left them. Thank God, and got into something that don't twist and turn and give out in the drought, and when the season's over, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the same power, thank God, that worked at Calvary, that stood in the fire, and thank God it's still working tonight. I said so much for that. Let's look at the Jordan. And just in that Bible encyclopedia, they brought out some things. They didn't know what they were saying. Some of them people write that, I guess, don't know God. But it said it started at the edge of the promised land. I about had a fit on that. Just as soon as them Israelites came into the promised land, they're at the edge of the Jordan. Are you hearing me now? Now I'm going to tell you folks, I got a real start. I was under conviction. I mean real conviction for 2 years. I thought this thing is going to turn out. They told me about the tooth fairy and the Easter bunny. And I found out there's all a lie.
Yeah, brother.
They told me about Santa Claus. And I said, that's a bigger lie than the other two. Then they told me about Jesus. And I said, ain't nobody that good. They've just improved on their line. But one morning down on the hillside, under deep conviction, just me and God, I prayed through and got in the Jordan. And thank God it's a running well tonight. In my soul a bubbling up. Right in America in 2007, when it looks like we're headed for the ditch and hell, and our governments have gone corrupt, and most old churches has gone to fun and games, I'm glad the old Jordan's still a-rolling right in my heart tonight. Whoa, hallelujah. That's real. And it said the Jordan's not much for flowers, not much for tourists, not much grows around it. What does? I don't grow very much. There's no industry much around it. But don't matter where you find it, it's still a royal. Little bit of muddy, little bit of dark places. Are y'all with me tonight? And I tell you what it said on down towards the end. It said it starts at the promised land and don't stop till it gets to the Dead Sea. That's as far as I'm going. That's as far as I'm going to need it. Whoa, hallelujah. I'm glad I got in one morning. Just about daybreak. Down on the hillside. Praying and trembling under deep conviction. And all at once, the old Jordan marched up around me. And I came up whole. Whoa. Oh, amen. Naaman said, surely I don't have to do all this and stuff. Yo, I got rivers in my country. He ain't never owned anything like Jordan. Down one time, two times, three times, four times. Said, look, boys, it's the same old business over and over again. Every Sunday morning, it's the same old business. Go to the same old church. Hear the same old choir and the same old songs. Thank God. Now, if I came to church here, I can come to church here a year, and me and these preachers, we've been in business long enough, and I can tell you before I come, if we have a testimony meeting, I can tell you five people it is going to testify. They are going to testify. And I'm going to tell you about what they're going to say when they get up. And I'm going to tell you, if I stay here two services, I can name three or four songs you're probably going to sing. And this preacher, if I stay here a year or 2 years, I'm going to tell you a whole lot of things he's going to say when he gets up. And if I hear you pray four or five times, I'm going to tell you how you're going to end your prayer. You say, what's wrong with that? Not a blessed thing. Right. good stuff bears to be repeated anyhow.
Yes, sir.
Thank God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. You may think it's the same old river, but it's a good old river. Hallelujah. The old saints of God requesting prayer for Judy and Charlie and Sam. Thank God it rings good in mine God's ears. You may think this Jordan's not worth much, but it's worth more than them other rivers. They give out and this is still a rolling. All them old religions, thank God. I heard a man say yesterday morning, all different than us and all them other regions, all them other religions, they can all find a corpse.
Yeah.
That's the only difference in these religions. They can all find a corpse. And we ain't got one. He arose, bless his name. Established his way and sat down at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us. Amen. Thank God this river ain't going to end until we get to the Dead Sea. Hallelujah. I'm about to have a Monday night fit. Thank God. I'm going to tell you, it said it's dark and it's twisting and it changes. And then I got down to another part. Brother Powers has said, but the last 60 miles is as straight as an arrow. I believe a little for your father's down the road a year or two, and it's going to start to straighten out. Whoa! I'm going to tell you, if you live right and look in the right direction, bless his name, the crooks become nothing anyway. I've already got my sights yonder. No matter what happens here, children, grandchildren may forsake this way. But thank God I'm looking towards where she ends. Where it ends, it all just really begins. Whoop, whoop, hallelujah. Well, I wonder which river you're in tonight. The Bible said he came up out of that Jordan and said, look at yonder. Said, it looks like a little old child's skin. That's what the Word of God said. I'm talking about clean and pure and innocent. Come up out of that old dirty Jordan. But there's something in cleansing in there. It may not look like so much to you. This old time spiritual route may look dirty to you and you don't have any fun. There's nothing in it. You go wash in it and then see what you look like and feel like. Innocent. Innocent, thank God, and pure. Hallelujah. And he said, I'm going back up and pay the man of God. Went back up there, I guess. The Bible don't get too descriptive about this. But I expect he is a dancing and the horses were too. Going back up to the tent of old Elisha. And this time, if you want to get the man of God out of his office, holler, I'm saved, I've been cleansed, glory to God. And if he's a real man of God, he'll come out of the back office. He may not act very interested in you and you're looking, hey, you see, if you're really in trouble, they don't have to fool with you for a month to get you to go to the altar.
Right.
If you realize you've really got leprosy and you're dying, the man of God don't have to come around and rub around over you and try to get you to come to the house of God. You get right, you'll go. You see, if he'd have stayed mad, he couldn't have got healed no how. As long as you're cussing the church, you ain't going to get saved. As long as you think your way is better than God's way, you'll never get anything. You'll have to submit to the Jordan before you ever get saved. I never thought of that before. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm in tonight by his grace. You see, it wasn't the river. Brother Larry, it wasn't the river that healed him. It is the hand of God, the cause of obedience, that done the job for him. Woo! Said, Elisha, I've come to pay you. He said, thank you, I wouldn't care for any. He said, all them chariots and suits you brought, I don't have them. They wouldn't fit me no how. Amen. had a man used to buy me shoes. Used to, I don't know how many pair of shoes he bought me. Never asked me, never did ask me what size I wore. That's right. And there wasn't one of them ever I could wear. Just give them away. That's right. I'm talking about real shoes. I'm talking about expensive things. Never did ask me what size I wore. Amen. But Jesus knows exactly what will fit you. He got exactly what will fit you. The devil's throwing everything at you, but God knows exactly what will fit you. I wonder what kind of river you're in. He said, I wouldn't care for any money. Well, he said, if you don't want anything from me, I want something from you. I went over this for years and didn't see it. He said, I want you to give me 2 mule loads of dirt around here where you've walked. Down there toward the Jordan Bank. He said, and I get back home, we'll get back home and we make me a praying place and a worshiping place. If you really did get born, you'll love the place where you got. You'll have a place. And you'll love the man of God that preached to you and told you the truth. Ain't that right? But he said, I want you to forgive me something now. He said, I just realized after I got cleansed down yonder, I've been doing the wrong thing. He said, when the king, my master, goes to down in the temple to worship his false god, he takes me down there with him. And while he's worshiping, he leans on me. And he said, I want you to forgive me for that. I feel like it's my duty to go down there with him. And said, I just figured out this morning that's wrong. He said, how about that? Just all at once got enlightened. Some of the things he'd been doing wasn't right.
Yes.
Did y'all do that?
Yes.
When you got saved and got in the old Jordan, you come out of there clean. And you said, hey, some of them things I've been doing, I realize now I've been addressing wrong. Somebody said, I don't know why y'all won't stay on dressing all the time the way people dress. If you'd been in the Jordan, you'd have thought of it before I did. Oh, yeah. If great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That's in the Bible. I guarantee you that's in the Word of God. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If you love God's law, the preaching of the Word of God won't offend you. You'll be on your knees hollering, more, 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 more. Amen. Ain't no use y'all look at me other way. It ain't going to change me. Oh, tonight, if you're here and you've even been looking at the wrong river. Now, this is none of my business, but I ask you to let God deal with your heart tonight. Every preacher, listen to me just a minute, and every preacher's wife, in the last year, unless you're already old enough that you're not bothered with this kind of thing anymore, the devil's been talking about you being in an old river that doesn't have no taste and ain't no great happiness and peace, and you need to make some changes. I tell you what, you go ahead and change, you get in the wrong river. And your children that's still in the flesh, they'll look at them shining rivers and cool rivers and jump in them. And then you can't get them to come back when you do. When you get under conviction and decide you're in the wrong river and try to get back to Jordan, your young'uns will be so enticed with all that beauty and all that glory and that tourist atmosphere, you can't get them to come back. That's exactly right. You better tell them how wonderful Jordan is. You go to church and the preacher can't preach and the choir can't sing. Tell your children going home, it's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to be in the house of God where they ain't putting on a show. They're just doing it like it comes.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, yes. About that little old assistant pastor's been looking over in that chariot and seeing all that money. He said, what's wrong with old Elisha? There's enough stuff in there to take care of us. That's right. He got down the road a little way and he slipped off down with the bushes and got ahead and waved that chariot down and said, after you left up there, we got to thinking. We need some of them changes of garments and some of that money. I want to tell you tonight, if you got all that stuff on your mind, you're a sorry devil.
Amen. Amen.
You better just take it as it comes. The worst thing a man of God can do is get out there scratching and digging and trying to get ahead and get ahead and get ahead and not spend the time alone with God. I talked to a young preacher yesterday. I talked to some young preachers in Mississippi. Brother Percy Redd come out and told some folks where to build a church, and they was fixing to build it, and I went out there and carried on the first meeting in a tent on that hillside, a great big auditorium there today. And they gathered around and said, "Preacher, we want you to," there's 8 or 10 of them, said, "Preacher, give us some shortcuts on what to do now in our ministry." And I said, "Well, what y'all got?" One of them said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, what have you got? What kind of resources inside yourself have you got?" One of them said, "I can sing." He said, "I can lead the choir and I can sing." The other said, "I can get along with people. Children love me, and I can just make friends with children and old sinners and all that kind of thing." And another said, "I got Bible education." And said, "I've studied and I've gone to school and I'm ready." Said, "Now tell us what we need to do." I said, "Take all that and throw it over into hell." That's right. And I said, "Get you a King James Bible and a dictionary and an old song book. It's got 2, 2, 4, and 4, 4, and 6, 8 times.
Yes, sir.
Where it gets in your heart before it gets in your head and in your feet." And I said, "Then go out in the woods and fix you a place, and every day you can, get out there by yourself. Take a pone of cornbread and a jug of milk. Thank God and eat and stay with God and study the Word of God and read a dictionary and study the Word of God. Amen. And I'll tell you what, do now. Get that 1828 Webster's Dictionary at 1828. And he'll tell you the truth about the things and quote Scripture to you. Amen. Thank God if it had stayed that way." You say, "Preach, what are you doing?" I'm telling you about this old Jordan. That ain't a very good school for most people to think about, you know. Just get out by yourself and read and study and pray and read and study and pray. Read and study and pray. Amen. And some time between midnight and 6 o'clock in the morning, spend an hour or two alone with God. A lot of times I just go and sit in a dark room and for about an hour and just let Him deal with my heart and say, "Speak to me, Lord. I need to talk to the people and I don't know how. I'm ignorant, Lord. I know I'm in Jordan, but I have nothing in myself. And I want you to speak to me. Great God in heaven tonight, stay with this Jordan way. It's going to straighten out after a while." I wonder where you are tonight. I know you're all in church. Didn't you enjoy the singing tonight and the praying and all of that kind of thing? But down inside, I wonder where you are. I just want you to be honest with God tonight. I'm going to give an invitation. Everybody stand, please, and listen to me. Ma'am, come to the instrument. Song leader, come. I want to just deal with you tonight like you are. If there's some things in your heart and the devil been dealing with you and just saying you need to make some changes and move here and move there, tonight I'd get in this altar and say, "Lord, I'm satisfied with Jordan. I have no desire, Lord, I have no desire for it." And some of you have already stepped over and started moving away from Jordan. But nobody may not know anything about it, but just you and the Lord. You just may have temptation. All I want you to do is be honest. Don't look at me now. Say, "Preacher, you're trying to expose us." None of my business why you come to this altar. For your children's sake, for your church's sake, for Jesus' sake, while we sing together tonight, ma'am, would you obey the Lord? Would you do it right now?
I've tasted in many waters, I've sailed a lot of seas, searching for one that would bring lasting peace. Those worldly new waves,
are you being honest?
Brought a bitter flood, but I found,
are you really
what
being honest?
I needed when I saw the blood. I'll take the old stream that flows from the mountain, sweet Calvary's fountain that made make sinners clean. Tried and tested, it's been faithful, never failing to redeem.
Are you being honest?
You can have the new rivers, I'll just take the old stream. Today's modern thinkers do not want to hear about the shed blood of our Savior so dear. The flow's been denied in their teachings today, but I'm not ashamed to say it. The blood's the only way.
Amen.
I'll take the old stream that flows from the mountain, sweet Calvary's fountain that makes sinners clean. Tried and tested, it's been faithful, never failing to redeem. You can have the new rivers, I'll just take the old stream.
Have you been honest with God? Several people still pray.
Today's modern thinkers do not want to hear about the shed blood of our Savior so dear. The flow's been denied in their teachings today, but I'm not ashamed to say it. The blood's the only way. I'll take the old stream that flows from the mountain, sweet Calvary's fountain that makes sinners clean. Tried and tested, it's been faithful, never failing to redeem. You can have the new rivers, I'll just take the old stream. I'll take the old stream that flows from the mountain, sweet Calvary's fountain that makes sinners clean. Tried and tested, it's been faithful, never failing to redeem. You can have the new rivers, I'll just take the old stream. I'll take the old stream that flows from the mountain, sweet Calvary's fountain that makes sinners clean. Tried and tested, it's been faithful, never failing to redeem. You can have the new rivers, I'll just take the old stream.
Touch.